I do invite you now to hear these words which come to us from the 130th Psalm. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. And here are these words that come to us from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came and, when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him.
A large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured such much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said,
"Touch his clothes, I will be made well."
Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware the power had gone from him, Jesus turned around to the crowd and said,
"Who touched my clothes?"
And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the truth. He said to her,
"Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease."
While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they had said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue,
"Do not fear, only believe."
He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Into the house, the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them,
"Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping."
And they laughed at him. And then he put them all outside. He took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her,
"Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, up."
And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was about 12 years of age. At this they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this. He told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of God. May you be blessed by the reading, the living, and the hearing of it. Amen. James had a sermon on this passage in Mark. And he began it by saying this. There was a business executive who became depressed. Things were not going well at work, and he was bringing his problems home every night. Every evening, he would eat his dinner in silence,
shutting out his wife and 5-year-old daughter. Then he would go into the den and read the paper, using the newspaper to wall his family out of his life. After several nights of this, one evening his daughter took her little hand and pushed the paper down, and then jumped into his lap, wrapped her arms around his neck, and hugged him strongly. And the father said abruptly, "Honey, you're hugging me to death." "No, Daddy," the little girl said, "I'm hugging you to life." This was the greatness of Jesus in the stories that we heard today. He took people where they were and hugged them to life. That is precisely what we see Jesus doing here in the dramatic passage in Mark 5. He is loving needy and hurting people, hugging them. This passage is a fascinating one because here we have a story within a story, or two healing stories rolled into one. And the people involved would not be more different. On the one hand, the family of Jairus represented the upper crust of society. Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. He was a man of substance, rich and powerful, and religiously prominent. And in the synagogue, he called the shots. He decided who would preach or what scripture would be read and would be sung. He represented the elite of society, especially the religious world. But this day, Jairus was troubled. His 12-year-old daughter was dying. Now, on the other hand, we have the hemorrhaging woman in a crowd was a social outcast. She was considered unclean as one who was under judgment of God and therefore not allowed to even set foot into the synagogue. And in this magnificent passage, these two vastly different people, the hemorrhaging woman and the upper crust daughter of Jairus, are loved into life by Jesus. In this healing story, we have the touch of Jesus healing both the woman who was an outcast and the daughter of the elite. Jesus did not discriminate. No ritual or incantations, no flashy show. Jesus just healed by touch. Jesus demonstrates the power of touch. Touch that was life-changing and life-giving. Now, touch is important in many ways in our lives. Some of you here might remember in the late 70s and early 80s, we won't ask you to raise your hand, AT&T ran an ad campaign called Reach Out and Touch Someone. The ads were about people using the phone to be in contact with, to touch someone who was far away. The telephone, video calls, and the like certainly made it possible for people to keep in touch with someone during the pandemic, during our self-isolation. Sometimes it was the only way we could communicate. I know for Linda and I, it was a way to provide pastoral care and contact with those who at St. John's had been ill. Touch is important in the church in other ways as well. David Leinringer tells about a man who wrote an article for his church newsletter. It goes like this. "What's all this touching in church? It used to be a person could come to church and sit in a pew bothered by all this friendliness and certainly not by touching. I used to come to church and leave untouched. Now I have to be nervous about what's expected of me. I have to worry about responding to the person sitting next to me. Oh, I wish it could be the way it used to be. I mean, I could just ask the person next to me, 'How are you?' And the person could answer, 'Oh, just fine.' And then, well, we go home, strangers who have known each other for 20 years. But now the minister asks each other. I'm worried about that hurt look I saw in the woman's eyes. Now I'm concerned because when the minister asks us to greet one another, the man next to me held my hand so tightly, I wondered if he had been touched in years. Now I'm upset because the lady next to me cried and then apologized and said it was because I was so kind and that she needed a friend right now. Now I have to get involved. Now I have to suffer when this community suffers. Now I have to be more than a person coming to a service. That man last week told me I'd never know how much I touched his life. And all I did was smile and tell him, I understand what it was to be lonely. Lord, I'm not big enough to touch and be touched. The stretching scares me. What if I disappoint somebody? Or what if I'm too pushy? Or what if I cling too much? Or what if somebody ignores me? Pass the peace. Christ be with you and also with you. And mean it. Lord, I can't resist meaning it. I'm touched by it. I'm enveloped by it. I find I do care about that person next to me. I find I am involved and I'm scared. Oh, Lord, be here beside me. You touch me. You touch me, Lord, so that I can touch and be touched. So that I can care and be cared for. So that I can share with all those others that belong to you. All this touching in church, Lord, is changing me. What was it our audacious friend said so many centuries ago? If I but touch, I will be healed. Here is one of several challenges that we have at St. John's. Now, with all that has happened, the pandemic, of course, which shut us down and isolated us from each other, difficult endings to our last two pastorates, differing understandings of what the church, of what is church, that has caused some people to leave. So perhaps the question comes to mind is, how do we get back in touch? The church pre-pandemic is not the same church post-pandemic. Is St. John's an institution? Is St. John's an organization? Is St. John's a community of faith? How do we understand ourselves? Point. Maybe the issue really is, how do we get in touch? Not how do we get in touch again. How do we get in touch? At this point, the pandemic has separated us, isolated us from each other. But you know, we can't blame the pandemic for everything for much longer. So can we let Jesus touch us? So can we touch others? So we can heal what is broken? So we can overcome our differences? So we can reconcile relationships? So we can celebrate what we have in common? So we can renew the church. And if we can do that within the church, can we reach out to touch people outside of the church? The world around us is getting more and more divided. Politics and social norms, prejudices and stereotypes pull us apart. If you and I disagree about certain things, then we are now enemies. I must destroy you. Economic factors separate us. The divide between haves and have-nots continues to grow. The wealth gap between the top 1% and the rest of the country grows larger. Communities are torn asunder. Families are pulled apart. But if we allow Jesus to touch us, can we have the courage of faith to reach out and touch someone outside our walls? Beyond our community of faith, and make a difference. A difference in their lives, a difference in our lives. A difference in Vincennes, Indiana, in Knox County, in Indiana, and in the United States, and in the world. The power of Jesus' touch is far-reaching, in here and out there. So feel the power and reach out and touch someone. Amen.